وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إن الله اصطفى آدم ونوحا وآل إبراهيم وآل عمران على العالمين. صلوات من الله. We've gathered tonight to commemorate the wafat of our 10th Imam, Imam Ali al-Naqi al-Hadi alayhi salatu wa salam. In the series of the Imams that we have, you had his father, the 9th Imam, Imam al-Taqi, who was the youngest of the Imams as far as the beginning of the Imamate is concerned. And then you have his son, who also became Imam at the age of 8. And it's interesting that when you look at their titles, the father, the young Imam, was known as At-Taqi, somebody who was righteous, who had taqwa. And you look at the son, another young Imam, his laqab and title is An-Naqi. An-Naqi, when you look at this concept of niqaya, it comes from purity. An-Naqi means somebody who is pure. And this is actually the way the dictionaries explain this term. They say the best that you extract or derive from something. So at that time, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at the dunya, you know, the best human being whom he could choose as his hujjat on the earth at that time was Imam Ali al-Naqi alayhi salatu wasalam. This goes with this concept of istifa, you know, the process of selection and or choosing someone. In Surah Al-Imran, ayat number 33, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it. You know, if you look at the whole world that Allah created, you know, he basically look at, when he looks at everything, he says, I have chosen the human being. Human being is at the top of the pyramid of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Among the human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then chose those who are whose hujjat, who are his representatives. And among them also then he selects those who are the best among them. And that is where we see the concept of the istifa for Muhammad and Ali Muhammad salawatullah alayhim ajma'een. The title Al-Mustafa refers to this concept. Al-Mustafa means the chosen one. Inna Allah astafa, in this ayat from Surah Al-Imran, Allah says he has chosen Adam. It's from everything, when he looks at the human beings, he chose Adam. And then, of course, Adam was not only a human being, he was also the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he says, wa Nuhan. After Adam, an important, you know, person in the list of those who represented him, it was Nuh alayhi salam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately goes to a family. Wa ala Ibrahim. And he then chose the family of Ibrahim. Ala Ibrahim is divided into two lines. You have the younger son, Ishaq. From him you have the descendants who are, his descendants who are known as Bani Israel. There were many, many prophets chosen among them. And they are actually, you know, when you look at the name of Musa and Isa alayhi salam, and so that family there is known as Ali Imran. That is where the name of the surah comes from. But if you look at the other side, you have Ismail, the older son of Ibrahim. And from among his descendants, like the other one, not all of them were chosen, but some of them were chosen. And in that line of Ismail, those who were chosen were Muhammad and Ali Muhammad salawatullah alayhi ajma'in. And so tonight, taking this inspiration from the title of the 10th Imam, An-Naqi, the pure, I would like to talk about this issue as a reminder for myself and the rest of you about the importance of looking at this issue, that let us not stop at the basic level. Let us always think about the issue that there are levels and darajat in our faith, in our iman, in our good deeds. Many times we take it for granted, and that's where we don't progress further. And with the barakat of this purity of the title of the 10th Imam, I would like to, you know, briefly talk about this issue tonight. Salawat Pranay Kulwara. We are not going to go back to bitcoins like on Sunday. MashaAllah, there was so much, you know, response to that. Many, many questions coming up. But, you know, tonight we'll go more into the, not the economic side of issues, we'll look at the spiritual side of ourselves. When we talk about levels and darajat, especially when you look at the Sharia, this Sharia or the fiqh, Islamic laws, only deals with the basics. A mujtahid will tell you this is halal, this is haram. This is permissible, this is not permissible. But it doesn't mean that that is the best option that you should be exercising. That is the very basic. Many times a mujtahidin will tell you, okay, you want to do this, it's ja'iz. It is permissible. But go and ask the mujtahid, would you do it? He will say, no. You know the famous question I get all the times, Maulana, is tattoo halal or haram? This is where I say, you know, don't just stay at that basic level. Move up. You know, look at the importance of yourself as an insan. Give value to yourself. What is it? And this is where we have to realize that, you know, when we talk about fiqh and the Sharia, this basically looks at the basic rulings that even a mujtahid himself not necessarily would be following what he says jais. You know, he will say, okay, it's permissible, this permissible for you, but not for me necessarily. I wouldn't do it. And when we talk about Islam, this is where we have to realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not left this issue to the ahadith of the Prophet and the Imams only. In Quran, he talks about it. Surah Maida, you know, the Maida means the dastarkhan, the sufra, the tablecloth, where the food is served. It has many, many ayat about food and drink, and that's why a surah is known as Surah Maida, the fifth surah of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in ayat number 91 to 93, gives the final verdict about intoxicants. You know, the Arabs were very much into this habit of drinking. And this was a social problem which could not be just, you know, eliminated by one stroke of the executive order. You know, people had to be weaned away from it gradually. And so actually four ayat came, one after another, gradually. Initially, you know, the ayat came which says, لا تقربوا الصلاة وأنتم سكارى. You know, at least make sure when you stand up for prayers, don't be in the state of intoxication. And then, you know, the prohibition started until at the end, Surah Maida, which is actually one of the last surahs in the list to offer a sequence of revelation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about al-khamr wal-maisr, intoxicants and gambling. And he terms them as rijs. Rijs means something which is impure, not clean. Not in a physical sense, but it says it's a bad deed. Amalu shaitan. It is an act of shaitan. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah says that shaitan uses gambling and intoxicants as a tool to create problems within the family and in the society. And so at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then comes very strongly that, will you not, you know, refrain from this? If something is described as an act of shaitan, you don't need any more proof that this is haram. Of course, there was even ayat came later on, two ayats together, which gives the meaning of harrama, you know, to the khamr also. So when these ayat were revealed in Medina, the Muslims who had, the jars of wine, history says that all of them would bring it outside and throw it in the canal where the sewage system was there. That day people saw, the wine basically flowing in the streets of Medina. Many companions of the Prophet had already passed away before this final verdict of khamr and intoxicants came. They had been drinking and they died. And so their friends came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, what will happen to our brothers who passed away and they used to drink? And this is where the ayat comes down. Because the prohibition had not yet reached to the final verdict, therefore whatever they did was okay. And the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expressed this idea is very interesting. He says, and this is ayat number 94 of Surah Ma'idah, لَيْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمَلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ جُنَاحٌ فِي مَا تَعِيمُوا. He says, those who had belief and those who did good deeds, there will be no blame on them for whatever they ate or drank, provided they had exercised their, religious duty. And how does he explain it? إِذَا مَتَّقَوْا, provided they had done taqwa, they had exercised righteousness. وَآمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they had done good deeds, and then again they had done taqwa, and they had iman, and then they done taqwa, and then they did good deeds. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. If you look at this ayat, you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using three terms, three times. He has used iman three times, amal salih and ihsan, which are one and the same, three times, and taqwa also three times. Why? You are talking to mu'mineen, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are saying, provided you have iman and taqwa, then you are okay. And then he says, and provided then you have iman again, and then taqwa again. And then again, third time he says, provided you have iman and taqwa. Why is he repeating that again and again and again? This is where we have to realize that, our levels cannot be just one. There is a level of iman and amal salih. Then there is a level of iman and taqwa above that. Then there is another darajan level of iman and taqwa, and this goes and on goes. This is a constant struggle that each one of us have to go through to become a better Muslim, a better mu'min, and a better good doer. And this is the message that we get from this ayat of Quran, and there is no end to that process. We have to constantly do this till the last day of our life. As long as we are able to do that, we have to constantly, go through this. This is basically a jihad which is ongoing all the time for us. It is our major jihad that we go from one level to another level. If I would like to just present this to you in a more, in form of a chart, you will see this is how this ayat begins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first talks about Alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. That's the lower level. That's the first level. Here, iman and amal salih is the beginning point. This is the Zahir Islam. This is where a person now is a Muslim, or he's born in a Muslim family, he has learned things. He says, yeah, this is my belief. I believe in one God, and the Prophet is the last Prophet, and the Quran, and the Qiyamah, and the Imams. And I've been taught how to do the Namaz and the Roza, and pay my dues, and go for Hajj. This is the basic level. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, there is no problem on them. إِذَا مَتَّقَوْا. The level up. So now, iman and amal salih, if really it works in the right way, then taqwa comes in. And if that taqwa comes in, then the iman becomes more stronger. It is no more just a cultural faith that we have inherited as children of born Muslims. It's not a cultural Islam or iman anymore. It is actually best because that iman will bring about, that taqwa will bring about that iman which resides in the heart. And when a person has this strong, you know, level of iman, then he will be encouraged to do good deeds in a better way. And this will actually take him to another level of taqwa. This is the second level of taqwa, where you actually do not, you know, confine yourself to the basics. Rather, you actually go the extra mile. This is the problem with us, me and you all. You say, Maulana, just tell us simply, what is the Shari'i ruling on this issue? Well, there is a Shari'i ruling, and then there is this extra mile that we can go. And that is where you attain the extra, you know, status. If you really want to go up, you have to do something extra. And when you do that, your iman becomes more pure and more stronger. And with that third level of iman, even your taqwa now, because they all interact with one another. A better, you know, iman, stronger iman, even improves the level of taqwa, where now you do not even go to the level of extra mile. Rather, you say, can I do something beyond the call of duty? You know, that's where gradually you go up. And then you reach the level of ihsan, because now your amal becomes a good deed, a beautiful deed. You know, he says, amal as-salihat, where here he says, wa ahsanu. Ahsanu means those who do beautiful things. Means even now the action has become more beautiful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the end result? Wallahu yuhibbul muhsineen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, you know, expresses this special love for his servants who reach to that level of ihsan, of doing good deeds, which are considered to be beautiful deeds in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat alayhi wa sallam. And so when you look at this one ayat only, you know, it talks about this different levels, talking about iman three times, taqwa three times, amal salih three times. This is actually telling us that you do not stop at one level. You constantly look for the higher level and move forward. And if you carefully look at this ayat, you will see that this progressive trend for our spiritual development, on one hand, it helps us intellectually when you're strong, your iman becomes strong. On a physical and legal level, you start doing good deeds. And then on a spiritual level, you know, your akhlaq also becomes better. So basically, these three levels deal with the aql as well as the body and the heart. This is where the iman is there. This is where the akhlaq comes in. And the body is the way by which we do our actions and our good deeds. Salawat upon the Ikbarar. The Muslims are, at the least, expected to follow what is halal and what is haram. And everybody is covered with this expectation. But remember, we are not only Muslims. We are followers of Ali. Who is who? Ali is Imamul Muttaqeen. What does Imamul Muttaqeen mean? We also call him Amirul Mu'mineen. None of the Imams are known as Amirul Mu'mineen. Huh? In our faith, Amirul Mu'mineen is the exclusive title of Ali, not even of Hassan or Hussein or Imam Ja'far Sadiq. So he is the chief of the mu'mineen, iman. Imam al-muttaqeen, he is the leader and guide of those who have taqwa. shouldn't we bring ourselves to that level? Where we can then proudly say we are followers of Ali. How can Ali be the Imam and the Amir if they are not mu'mineen and they are not muttaqeen? To actualize that title of Ali, we have to improve ourselves. If we really love Ali as Amir al-Mu'mineen and Imam al-Muttaqeen, we have to be sure they are mu'mineen and muttaqeen at all the time and in all the generations. Salawat padhne ek baar aao. We are a follower of the other Ali, who is known as An-Naqi, the pure. And this is where I have to look at myself. This concept of going the extra mile. If we really have that iman and taqwa, and if we really think about these levels of purity which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, then we do not stop with the basics. We also then go to the level of what is known as wara and taqwa. Taqwa sometimes even mean taking that extra precaution. You know, the fatwa about the cryptocurrencies that I talked about was based on that feeling of, you know, we are not sure about it, the nature of this entity, the status of this entity, so let us stay away from it until things become more clear. And this is what is known as taqwa, and this is what is known as, wara. Because when we talk about Muslims, a Muslim would stop at the basic level, but the follower of Ali, Ali al-Awwal and Ali al-Naqi, will go further up and up and up. Salawat upon Akbar. You know, what are the biggest worries we have about our food? That is the maximum we talk about. Is this halal, is this haram, is this pak, it pak, najis? You know, alhamdulillah, especially in Greater Toronto area, there are no problems of halal, you know, outlets. Just think about those people who are in small towns or where they don't have Muslim communities. You know, they actually have to travel every week or 2 weeks to neighboring city to get that halal meat. And still we have all this problem, and this is what I'm saying, that sometimes, you know, we say, okay, Maulana, this and that. I didn't see it being touched. It was not meat, it was just vegetable. Okay. You ask the mas'ala and say, it's okay, eat. But the point is that, you know, that is the basic level. Nobody is saying that is sinful. Nobody is saying that is haram. But you are a follower of Ali. There is an expectation that you will go that extra mile. Fiqh will tell you this is okay. Akhlaq will tell you exercise precaution. And this is where we miss out. Sometimes we just focus on fiqh and we ignore the akhlaqi values of our deen. Salawat. The fatawa, based on fiqh, they will say, okay, if it's a product which is non-meat product, you have permission to assume it is okay. In meat products, the ruling is different. You assume it to be haram unless it is proven otherwise. But non-meat products, you assume it to be halal unless you know otherwise. This is fiqh. But what is the expectation from the imam of the time? On Friday, sometimes we recite this dua of the imam. Allahumma rizqna tawfiq al-ta'a wa bu'd al-ma'suya wa sidq al-niyya. There a sentence comes in. Wa tahhir butunana min al-haram. That, oh Allah, purify our bellies from haram. But Imam didn't stop at haram. He says, وَتَحِّرْ بُطُونَنَا مِلَ الْحَرَامِ وَالشُّبَهَا. What is shubha? Well, Allah, purify our bellies from what is haram and what is doubtful. So the first part is fiqh. The other part is akhlaq. That is the imam of the time asking you to do this dua. That, oh Allah, keep my belly away from not only haram things, but even things which are, doubtful. And this is where we have to realize that there are different levels that we always have to keep in our mind. Salawat upon the Ikbar. A companion came to the Imam, and Imam responds to him by saying, Ya Abdul Aziz, Inna al-Iman ashara darajat bimanzilat al-sullam. Addressing this fellow, Ya Abdul Aziz al-Qaratisi, he says, Ya Abdul Aziz, Iman has 10 levels. And you heard this many, many times. But I would just like to give you the exact wordings of the hadith. Bimanzilat al-sullam, just like these stairs. You know, one step, second, goes on till 10th. يُسْعَدُ مِنْهُ مِرْقَاتًا بَعْدَ مِرْقَاتٍ. Like the ladder. Sullam here means the ladder. An imam says you go from one step to the next. But then he says three things about it. MashaAllah, people like me have struggled in going on the higher level. And then when I reach to one level, I say, I am something, mashallah. Not only that I say mashallah to myself, I look down and say, it's nothing. It's a problem. Every good thing comes with a bala. And sometimes spiritual development also has a bala. You have to be very careful that it doesn't get into your head. Mothers try so hard to make their children better than the children of their sisters and cousins and this and that. I'm not blaming, I'm just making a comment here. But sometimes it becomes a competition in a very wrong way. It gets into that mind, you are better than your cousin. This is a problem. And so Imam says here, remember there are 10 levels of Iman. You go from one step to another. فَلَا يَقُولَنَّ صَاحِبَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ لِصَاحِبِ الْوَاحِدِ. So the fellow who is on the second step should not say to the one who is on the first step, لَسْتَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ حَتَّى يَنْتَهِ إِلَى الْعَاشِرِ. He says, you are nothing. And he says, at every step, you are on the eighth one, somebody is on the seventh, don't say you are nothing. فَلَا تُسْقِطُ مَنْ هُوَ دُونَكَ. Do not push down the one who is lower than you in that ladder. Because remember, فَيُسْقِطُكَ مَنْ هُوَ فَوْقُكَ. There is somebody above you. He will push you down. So be careful. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ مَنْ هُوَ أَسْفَلُ مِنْكَ. Rather, if you see somebody who is at a level below you, don't push him down. فَارْفَعْهُ إِلَيْكَ بِرِفْقٍ. Try to pull him to your own level, but with leniency. Kindly, gently, rifq, rafiq. وَلَا تَحْمِلَنَّ عَلَيْهِ مَا لَا يَتِيقُ فَتَكْسِرُهُ. And do not impose on him something which will destroy him, break his back. Everybody has their own level. Bring them gradually, gently to that higher level. فَإِنَّ مَنْ كَسَرَ مُؤْمِنًا فَعَلَيْهِ جَبْرُهُ. Because if you destroy a mu'min because imposing on him something which he could not handle, then you have a responsibility of bringing him back to that level. Salawat upon the Ikbar. Sometimes we do not realize, again I would like to talk about this connection of fiqh and akhlaq, we many times miss that. And we say, okay, let's just look at the bare minimum and the basics there. You realize sometimes we might do something, later on regret, do tawbah, and this sin is forgiven. What we don't think about is that the moral impact of the wrongdoing which was done. A person does something, then sincerely repents, has a remorse, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him. As far as sin and its consequences in the akhirah is concerned, that person is pure now. But what about the spiritual impact of what he had done? Or the haram that, for example, he ate or something? Just as an example. Somebody who was smoking for many, many years, didn't know much about it, didn't think about it, until he was convinced with the scientific data that this is harmful. So one day he quits. And the family members will say, MashaAllah. Everybody will praise him. It's good. Yes, he has done a very good thing. He quits smoking. So there's no consequences after that. But what about the harm of smoking for so many years? By saying, I quit, or I do astaghfirullah, rabbi wa atubu ilayh, the sin will be forgiven. But what happened to the lungs during those few years? That will not automatically just be wiped out. The impact would still be there. And this is where we have to talk about, you know, spiritual and the physical dimension. And we should not just stop at the physical level only. You know, when you look at the seerah of the Imam, Imam Muhammad Taqi, as well as Imam Ali Naqi, both of them, salawat padhne ek baar aur. Their age, and I've talked about it many, many times, and I think this is an important point. Their age, becoming imam in late, even not yet in teens, 8, 9 years old. But the title given to them is At-Taqi, the pious, the righteous. An-Naqi, the pure. It means these issues is not only for people like me who become old. Then we go into taqwa and taharat and mustahabbat. Once I have nothing to do, I become retired, then I go into all this. Nay. These titles are actually indirect message that these issues are important for a mu'min at all age. From the day they become baligh, the struggle starts. And they have to think about it. Yes, there is an age where they become more intellectually more mature. And those are the times when they have to, you know, use that time. Because age doesn't stay, the health doesn't stay with you for long. By the time we reach to the age where we become feeble and weak, we say, I wish I had done all these things when I was young. But now I'm becoming weak. Health issues and this and that. I can't even do my fasting, for example. And this is where we have to realize that when we talk about taqwa, righteousness, purity of the character, this is not only reserved for the old people. This is for the young people also. And probably that's why the youngest of our imams were given these titles of At-Taqi and An-Naqi. Salawat padhne ek baar aur. You know, how much can you get from your own life? It depends on what, you know, energy you take with yourself. You know, you have a car, you can put in regular or unleaded or supreme. Well, all of three will work. But you will have a better mileage with more pure fuel and energy that you're putting in the car. And this is where we have to look at ourselves. When we talk about our spirituality, let's try to make it of the supreme level. And this is where we have to look at the example of our two imams, the 9th and the 10th imam. Let us think with clarity, act with sincerity, and eat and drink with purity. Salawat padhne ek baar aur. امام علی نقی علیہ السلام کی شہادت کی مجلس کے سلسلے میں بہت ہی مختصراً ایک کانسیپٹ کو آپ کے سامنے پیش کرنا تھا. خود ہمارے لیے ہے, اور آپ لوگوں کے لیے ہے تاکہ ان باتوں پہ ذرا ہم سوچیں، غور و فکر کریں. اسی تھیم سے ریلیٹڈ ایک حدیث امام علی نقی کے آپ کے سامنے پیش کرنا چاہیں گے کہ امام مدینہ میں تھے، ولادت بھی مدینہ میں ہوئی تھی، لیکن متوکل نے اپنے زمانے میں انہیں جو تھریڈ تھا ہمارے ائمہ سے، لہٰذا یہ چاہتے تھے کہ اماموں کو جو ہیں اپنے سے قریب رکھیں، تو آل دی وے وہ مدینہ سے امام کو سامرہ لے آیا. اور امام نے تقریباً 15 سال سے زیادہ زندگی کا آخری جو دور ہے وہ سامرہ میں گزارا ہے. معتز باللہ کے زمانے میں امام کو زہر دیا گیا ہے. امام کو جب زہر دیا گیا ہے تو اسی زمانے میں بیمار جب ہوئے ہیں، اس کی وجہ سے ابو دعامہ امام کا ایک صحابی تھا، وہ امام کی عیادت کے لیے آیا. عیادت یعنی یو گو اینڈ وزٹ دی پیپل ہو آر ناٹ فیلنگ ویل. امام نے ایک عجیب بات کی. امام نے کہا کہ تمہارا حق ہم پر ہوتا ہے، تم عیادت کے لیے آئے ہو، تو ہم تمہیں ایک حدیث سناتے ہیں، سننا ہے تمہیں. تو ابو دعامہ نے کہا کہ یقیناً اس سے بہتر ہمارے لیے کیا ہو سکتا ہے. پھر امام نے بیان کرنا شروع کیا، حدثنی ابی محمد بن علی، میرے بابا محمد تقی نے بیان کیا، قال حدثنی ابی علی ابن موسیٰ، وہ بیان کرتے ہیں کہ میرے بابا علی ابن موسیٰ نے بیان کیا ہے، وہ حدثنی ابی موسیٰ بن جعفر، وہ یہ کہتے ہیں کہ ان کے بابا موسیٰ بن جعفر نے بیان کیا ہے، وہ حدثنی ابی جعفر بن محمد، اور ساتھ میں امام کہتے ہیں کہ ہمارے بابا جعفر بن محمد نے بیان کیا ہے، اور چھٹے امام کہتے ہیں حدثنی ابی محمد بن علی، میرے بابا محمد الباقر نے بیان کیا ہے، قال حدثنی ابی علی ابن الحسین، پانچویں امام نے کہا کہ میرے بابا نے بیان کیا ہے. کیا بیان کیا ہے؟ حدثنی ابی الحسین بن علی، کہ میرے بابا نے اس حدیث کو بیان کیا ہے، حدثنی ابی علی بن ابی طالب، حسین کہتے ہیں کہ میرے بابا علی ابن ابی طالب نے بیان کیا ہے، قال قال لی رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم، یہ پورا سلسلہ سند ہے 10ویں امام سے امیر المومنین تک، ون جنریشن آفٹر انادر گوئنگ بیک. علی کہتے ہیں کہ رسول نے مجھ سے کہا، یا علی اکتب، اے علی لکھو، آئی ول ڈکٹیٹ اینڈ یو رائٹ اٹ ڈاؤن. فقلت وما اکتب، علی نے کہا کہ ہم کیا لکھیں؟ رسول اللہ کہتے ہیں اکتب بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. اور پھر فرق بتاتے ہیں لیولز کے، صرف دو لیول کی بات ہو رہی ہے. الایمان ما وقرته القلوب وصدقته الاعمال، ایمان وہ لیول ہے کہ جہاں دل نے بات کو مان لیا ہو، اور یہ ایمان جو دل میں ہے اس کا اظہار ہوتا ہے عمل کے ذریعے. ایکشن از دی پروف دیٹ یو ریئلی بلیو، وہ ایمان ہے. والاسلام ما جرى على اللسان، اور اسلام یہ وہ ہے جو آپ کلمہ زبان سے پڑھتے ہیں، اور اس کا فائدہ کیا ہے؟ حلت بہن منا کے، شادی بیاہ جو ہے مسلمانوں کے لیے پھر مسلمانوں سے حلال ہو جاتی ہے، کھانا پینا حلال ہو جائے گا. تو یہ بہت بڑا فرق ہے اسلام میں اور ایمان میں. ہم لوگ جب مسلم گھرانے میں پیدا ہوتے ہیں تو ہم مسلم ہیں، وی ڈونٹ ہیو ٹو گو اینی ویئر، دیر از نو بیپٹیزم، دیر از نو رجسٹریشن، نتھنگ. جسٹ بیکاز وی آر بورن ان اے مسلم فیملی وی آر آٹومیٹکلی نون اے مسلم. لیکن وہ کافی نہیں ہے. امام کہتے ہیں کہ یہ زبان سے بات جو ہے دل تک جانی چاہیے. اسی سے اندازہ ہوتا ہے کہ ہمیں اس بات اس لیول پر نہیں رہنا چاہیے کہ جو ہیں، ورنہ وہی ہوگا جنہیں ہم لوگ کہتے ہیں کلچرل مسلم، کہ بندہ کتاب بھی لکھتا ہے. یہیں ٹورنٹو میں ایک بندہ سید بھی ہے، یو نو ہی سیز مسلم ایتھسٹ. جس کنٹروڈکشن ان ٹرمز، ہاں مسلم بھی ہو اور ایتھسٹ بھی ہو، بیسکلی دیز آر واٹ دے آر نون ایز کلچرل مسلم. چونکہ ہم مسلم فیملی میں پیدا ہوئے، اپنے کو ہم مسلمان کہتے ہیں، روزہ نہیں رکھیں گے لیکن عید میں آ جائیں گے، تو اس ٹائپ کا ایمان جو ہے وہ دنیا کے لیے ہے، آخرت میں اس کو کوئی اثر نہیں ہونے والا ہے۔ اور امام یہی بتاتے ہیں کہ دیکھیے اسلام اور ایمان میں فرق ہے، اور خود ایمان میں بھی اور عمل میں بھی درجات کا تفاوت ہے، جو آیت سورہ مائدہ سے ہم نے آپ کے سامنے پیش کی ہے۔ صلوات پڑھنے پر اور ابو دعامہ نے جب یہ حدیث سنی امام سے، اب اس کا ریئیکشن دیکھیں، کہتا ہے ابن رسول اللہ واللہ ما ادری ایہما احسن، اے فرزند رسول مجھے نہیں معلوم ہے الحدیث ام الاسناد، خود حدیث اچھی ہے یا یہ جو نام سند میں آئے ہیں وہ اچھا ہے۔ آئی کین کمپیئر ون ود دی ادر، اس لیے کہ نام جو ہیں خود نام بہت متبرک ہیں۔ پھر جس پر امام کہتے ہیں، امام علی نقی بتاتے ہیں اس کو، انها لصحیفۃ بخط علی بن ابی طالب و املاء رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم، فرماتے ہیں کہ دس از ایکچولی اے ریٹن ڈاکیومنٹ ان دی ہینڈ رائٹنگز آف علی، اور ڈکٹیشن جو ہے رسول اللہ کا ہے، نتوارثها صاغرا عن کابر، اور یہ ہمارے فیملی میں وی انہیریٹ دس فرام ون جنریشن ٹو اندر، یعنی ہم تک یہ پہنچا ہے اس طرح سے۔ اور آپ جب ائمہ کی زندگی کو دیکھتے ہیں اور خلفاء کے ایٹیٹیوڈ کو دیکھتے ہیں، ان کے لیے یہی پرابلم تھا، حکومت لے لی، خلافت لے لی، فدق کے عنوان سے دولت لے لی، دنیاوی اعتبار سے جو بھی کر سکتے تھے لے لیا، لیکن وہ علمی میراث جو رسول نے اہل بیت کو دی ہے اسے یہ ہاتھ نہیں لگا سکے، اس لیے کہ علم کو کوئی چرا نہیں سکتا ہے۔ دولت دشمن لے جائے گا، لیکن علم جو ہے دشمن آپ سے الگ نہیں کر سکتا ہے۔ اور یہی وجہ تھی کہ خلفاء نے، بنو عباسی خلفاء نے خصوصاً یہی کوشش کی تھی، یا تو ان کو اتنا قریب لے آؤ، امام محمد تقی علیہ السلام کے ساتھ بھی یہ کوشش کی تھی ان لوگوں نے، بغداد لے آئے تھے کہ چھوٹے بھی ہیں ہم لوگوں کے ساتھ رہیں گے، ہی ول بیکم لائک آس، وی کانٹ بیکم لائک دیم بٹ ایٹ لیسٹ ٹرائی ٹو چینج دیم ٹو بی لائک آس، تاکہ لوگوں کی نظر میں پھر ہم لوگ بالکل برابر ہو جائیں گے۔ لیکن اس نے دیکھا مامون الرشید نے کہ اس کا کوئی فائدہ نہیں ہوا۔ اسی طرح سے امام علی نقی کو یہ متوکل نے جو ہے مدینہ سے اول دی وے سامرہ بلایا، وہ اب تو جانتا تھا مامون کی مثال کو دیکھنے کے بعد کہ یو نو دیس پالیسیز اور اسٹریٹجیز آر ناٹ گوئنگ ٹو ورک، بس یہی تھا کہ وہ عسکر جو جگہ تھی، اٹ واز ایکچولی اے آرمی بیرکس، اسی کی وجہ سے دسویں اور گیارہویں امام کو عسکری کہتے ہیں، عسکر یعنی آرمی، تو یہ وہ آرمی بیرکس تھا ان کا، وہاں رکھا تھا، کائنڈ آف یعنی سمجھیے دے ویر ناٹ ان اے پریزن بٹ لائک اے ہاؤس اریسٹ کی طرح، اینڈ ٹوٹل سرویلنس میں، اور اسپائز ہوتے تھے چاروں طرف۔ اور اسی زمانے میں امام نے، موت از باللہ کا زمانہ تھا، کہ اس نے ارادہ کیا کہ اب ان کی بھی شہرت بڑھ رہی ہے علمی اعتبار سے، 15 سال ہو چکا ہے ان کو یہاں رہتے ہوئے سامرہ میں، تو وہاں بیسیکلی اب یہ کربلا کے بعد دوبارہ انہوں نے کبھی بھی تلوار کا استعمال نہیں کیا ہے، اور زہر کا استعمال کرتے ہیں، وہ زہر امام کو دیا گیا ہے، لیکن ظاہری طور پہ یہی تھا کہ ہم ان سے محبت کرتے ہیں، ان کا احترام کرتے ہیں، ان کی عزت کرتے ہیں۔ آج ہم لوگ جمع ہوئے ہیں امام حسن عسکری کی خدمت میں پرسے کے لیے، اور خصوصاً ہمارے امام عصر کے دادا کے پرسے کے لیے ہے۔ بس یہ ہم کہنا چاہیں گے امام حسن علیہ السلام سے، حسن عسکری علیہ السلام سے، کہ آپ کے بابا کا جنازہ جو ہے پھر بھی عزت و شان کے ساتھ اٹھایا گیا، سامرہ کے مین شہر کا جو میدان تھا وہاں جو ہے جنازہ لایا گیا، اور تمام شہر کے لوگ جمع ہوئے، اور جو پبلکلی نماز جنازہ ہوا ہے، اور عزت احترام کے ساتھ یہ لاشا جو ہے دوبارہ گھر کے اندر لے آتے ہیں اور امام کو وصیت کے مطابق اپنے گھر کے اندر ہی دفن کرتے ہیں. اور یہ وہی جگہ ہے جہاں بعد میں امام حسن عسکری بھی دفن ہوئے اور جناب نرجس خاتون بھی وہاں دفن ہوئی ہیں. یہ وہی بارگاہ ہے جو ہم دیکھتے ہیں. بس امام حسن عسکری سے صرف ایک جملہ کہنا چاہیں گے کہ مولا پرسے کے لیے آپ اس امام کو یاد کریں جو آپ کے ہم نام تھے. آپ کا نام بھی حسن تھا اور رسول کے سبط اکبر بڑے نواسے کا نام بھی حسن تھا. یہ تو سامرہ کی بات ہے, یہ تو دور متوکل کا ہے, یہ دور معتز کا ہے, لیکن پھر بھی ظاہری احترام تھا کہ امام کے تشییع جنازہ ہوئی, پبلکلی جنازہ ہوا, بازار کو بند کر دیا گیا احتراماً, لیکن ہائے وہ نواسے رسول جس کا نام حسن مجتبیٰ ہے کہ جہاں حسین ابن علی اور بنو ہاشم والے ان کے جنازے کو اٹھاتے ہیں اور مسجد النبی کی طرف لے جانا چاہ رہے تھے تاکہ یا تو دفن کریں یا کم سے کم زیارت ہو سکے اور طواف کر سکیں, لیکن عزاداران حسین آل مروان دوسروں کے ساتھ جمع ہونے کے بعد روکتے ہیں, یہاں تک کہ بنو ہاشم کے جوانوں نے اپنی تلوار اس وقت نکالی ہے جب تیروں کی بارش شروع ہوئی ہے, جس پر امام حسین علیہ السلام نے آ کے اپنے جوانوں کو روکا ہے یہ جملہ کہتے ہوئے کہ اے آل مروان, میرے بھائی کی وصیت نے میرے ہاتھ کو باندھ دیا ہے, ورنہ ہم تمہیں دکھاتے کہ تلوار کے زور پر کس طرح سے ہم اپنے بھائی کو نانا کے پہلو میں دفن کرتے. بس ایک جملہ کہنا آپ چاہیں گے کہ مولا آپ جب یہ بیان کر رہے ہیں بس آپ سے واسطہ ہے کہ زین العابدین وہاں نہ ہوں, اس لیے کہ اس علی کو ایک دن وہ وقت آیا یاد آئے گا کہ جب وہ کربلا میں ہوگا اس کے ہاتھ بندھے ہوئے ہیں آپ کی وصیت سے نہیں بلکہ ہتھکڑی سے, اور جب وہ روانہ ہو رہا ہے کربلا سے بابا کے لاشے کو بے گور و کفن چھوڑ کے جاتا. لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. خدا بندہ اس خلی بات قبول فرما, ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے, ہمارے توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما. خدا بندہ جہاں بھی شیعہ نالی ہیں ان کو اپنے حفظ امان میں رکھ, تکفیری افواج کی تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما, امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم.